Our last storyteller is Jared Griffin. Jared was born in New Jersey and grew up as a military brat, spending all of his childhood in Anchorage. He moved with his family to Kodiak in 2007, where he is Associate Professor of English and Assistant Director of Academic Affairs at UAA Kodiak College. His first book will be published later this year, and he is furiously learning ukulele songs so that he can be one, so that he can one day be the musical guest at galley tables.
Wait, karma. Don't say it's a dollar. It's really interesting that our theme scars takes place on Easter weekend and Good Friday. I don't know if you planned that, but my story about scars is actually not really about me. It takes place a couple of years before I was born in 1976. Yeah, Pam, I was born in 1978. Yeah, you can suck it. It's a story about my dad. And he and my mom, they grew up in a suburb of Houston called Pasadena. And to kind of avoid the draft during Vietnam, he joined the Air Force. And he was being transferred from Ellington Air Force Base in Houston to Air Force Base in Austin, Texas, which is about 3 hours away. So he and my mom loaded up the car with my older sister, Jessica. She's about a year old at the time, loaded up the car and drove the 3 hours to Austin, pulled into the Air Force Base, and pulled into the billeting. My dad helped my mom and my sister into their new temporary home on base. I came out to the car and was surprised to see that there is a man hiding behind the car with a gun. And this man forced my dad into the driver's seat and with a gun pointed at him, and forced my dad to drive off the base, drive out of Austin, and hit the highway. We don't really know too many details about the story so much. My dad doesn't really talk about it, but what we do know is that this is a case of mistaken identity. This man thought that my dad was somebody else who had taken his girlfriend away or cheated on his sister, something like that. It was not good. This man was in a jealous rage and was just yelling and screaming at my dad while they were driving on the highway. My dad was, probably 23 at the time. And as luck would have it, I guess, the highway that my dad, or that the man forced my dad to turn onto, was the highway back to Houston. And they're in the car for 3 hours, and this man forced my dad to drive to this swampy, foresty area that just happened to be in Pasadena, where my dad grew up. It just happened to be the woods where my dad played as a kid. And so he knew this place, like the back of his hand. The man forced my dad to stop the car, and they got out of the car. He forced my dad to walk into the woods, and they walked for a few miles into the woods. At some point, he told my dad to stop walking, told him to get on his knees, and told him to put his hands in the air. For some reason, this man paused. He kept saying, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you." And then my dad heard the gun cock. And for whatever reason, at that moment, my dad, I say for whatever reason, I mean, I think we all know the reason. my dad just swung as far as he could right when the man pulled the trigger and knocked the gun out of his hand, but my dad was shot right here. At that point, so shots, the gun went that way. My dad took off running the other way. And my dad was a track star, so running through the woods was no problem for him. And as this man, as he could hear this man yelling behind him as he was looking for his gun, my dad ran home. He knew exactly where he was, and he ran to to the house that he grew up in, to his parents' house. Of course, they were very surprised to see him with blood, you know, running on his hand, which, you know, he obviously didn't notice. Meanwhile, of course, my mom hasn't seen my dad for several hours, and at first thought that he just went out to the store to get groceries, but didn't come back. And so she's fearing the worst also. And so, you know, they call the police. They call my mom's parents, who live just like a couple blocks away. My grandfather drives to Austin to pick up my mom and sister and bring them back. And I, you know, so now my dad has this kind of engorged, obese X kind of shape right here. And growing up, he'd never told us what it was. Growing up, I remember sitting next to him and looking at his hand and tracing that scar with my finger and asking him what it was. And he would always say, you know, it was nothing, is something that happened to me when I was a kid. And but it was one of those things it was one of those like little habits that whenever I sat down next to my dad when I was a kid, and when you're kids, you know, your dad's hands are hairy and you just kind of touch them and feel them. You know, my hand always went to his scar, and it was always a reminder of, you know, that he was real. You know, that this was my dad. I could always go back and look at the scar and know that this is him. And then that was always some kind of reminder to me also that, well, if he's real, then I'm real also, right? And that this world is my home, that this place is my home, that this is something that I belong here. And you know, scars are evidence of life. Right, and I think it's kind of fascinating that I was just sitting here in the wings and listening to these stories about scars and thinking about my dad's scars, and I'm sure everybody out there, you are all thinking about your own scars and maybe even scars that your parents have, and it makes me feel good. It makes me feel real. It makes me feel alive, and it makes me feel like I belong, that I'm in the right place on this earth with all you people. So.